We want to talk a little bit about German unification, which will occur on the 3rd of October, which is, we're 9 hours. It's not yet the 3rd of October, but it'll be the 3rd of October there before it's the 3rd of October here. And at that point in time, Germany will be reunited, reunified. Elections won't happen until, I think, December the 2nd or the 3rd. But officially, Germany will become one country again on the 3rd of October. I'm sure that my father never would have believed that this would happen in so short a time. And what I would like to do this evening is just have this be an informal discussion, and we could begin by asking Kirsten and Peter some questions, and then some of us, the rest of us, may have some thoughts too. And I guess the first question that I'd like to ask is, would you have believed a few years ago that this would happen in your lifetime, that the two Germanys would be one again?
No, I couldn't believe it before it was really there. The war came down, and then I believed it. But it was getting better over the last few years, the relationship between the two countries. But I think it's a little too early for the reunification. On the other hand side, it's really nice for the people in East Germany.
Why do you think it's a little too early? And that was an opinion that when we were there in May, many folks expressed the feeling that they were glad to see it happen, but they thought it was being pushed too quickly, and that a lot of people would suffer. Particularly, we were talking to East Germans who were frightened by this reunification.
Yeah, that's one point. And also the economy in East Germany is too weak to get along with our economy, and I think we will have many problems with this. And this is one point. Maybe you can add some, I don't know, think about it.
What do you think, Peter? Do you think it's too hasty?
Yeah, I think it too, but whatever happens, it's really good for the people, because the life in East Germany was not very nice for the people, because they couldn't buy what they want, and many things were very old. And so I think the reunification is really good, and but the problem is that they have not enough experience at work. They have not enough money when they move to West Germany, or they stay at East Germany. They have to build new streets, new towns, new factories. All the stuff is very old, and so I think it costs a lot of money and some years to build up a new Germany, East Germany, East part of Germany. So there will be a lot of unemployed people in the next years, and a lot of people East German people who have not enough money to rent a home, or they have enough money to rent a home, but then they have nothing to eat, or something like that, and these problems came.
One of the questions that I'm dying to ask you your opinion about is there still persists, I think, some fear in the world that a united Germany with 80 million people, I think there'll be 80 million people in New Germany, be the largest country in the middle of Europe. There's still some fear of a united Germany. Do you think that a united Germany is anything to be feared by the rest of the world? Could what happened in World War I or World War II happen again? Or could Hitler ever emerge in the united
I'm
Germany?
I'm afraid too. I'm really afraid too, because the new Nazism and many other negative influences are growing up right now. And I'm really afraid that anybody could get mad again, like Hitler, maybe, I don't know. But the base is there for such a step, and I'm afraid too.
I'm afraid too that this happens, but I think there's the possibility that this happens again is it's not given, because
it's very small, would you say?
The people, many young, especially the young generation, many people know that what happens, and many people are against this, that this happens again. And I think there are too many newspapers, too many TV sender, and too many possibilities for news in our country that the same thing could not happen. But I'm not sure. I can't say.
I think you should be a little more objective. I think you think too positively in this way, because I saw some report at TV last year, and already in December or something like that, there were new groups in East Berlin which have the idea of Nazism still, and they're growing bigger and bigger and bigger. And we had in West Germany, we had some of these groups, but especially in East Germany, they are increasing right now.
What kind of groups are those? What are those groups about?
Kind of neo-Nazi.
Neo-Nazi.
Yeah. Because they were not allowed to say their opinion before the war came down, and now they do it in this way.
But they...
Well, I think there'll always be groups like that. I have to go back to the cause of the Second World War. From my perspective, the cause of the Second World War lies in the reparations that the Allies foisted upon Germany after the First World War and destroyed the middle class in Germany. It was an economic, cultural, psychological, spiritual malaise that was created by the Allies by virtue of the demands that Germany turn over practically all of their production in reparation, so that Germany was destroyed. Now, I don't think that you'll have a repeat of what we had in the Second World War unless you have the same economic and political situation that you had following the First World War. I think there was a cause and effect, and I attribute that largely to us, to the Allies. So that isn't what bothers me about this reunification. What bothers me about the reunification and the speed with which it came is the fact that whatever forces were in Germany that didn't buy into socialism and didn't buy into the goals of capitalism and socialism, economic growth for the sake of growth, never had a chance and will not have a chance to affect the future of Germany. Germany will be one of the most powerful forces in the world to provide a world market in which economic growth, regardless of the consequences for third world countries or for the ecosphere, will be the dominant thrust. That's the problem, it seems to me. And one of the problems is that with the demise of the Eastern socialist countries, the very notion that the governments ought to take some responsibility for the God's future, that is, for the future of the world, is in disarray. I mean, it has no legitimacy anymore. So that if you begin to ask for steps on the part of a government to control the economic growth for the sake of the environment, you meet all of the ideology that is now supported by the destruction of all the centralized governments, all the centralized economies in the world. So we are facing, at the very time when we need to have centralized concern, we are going toward the market, and the market is the cause. The market is really, has no instrument to deal with the future of the creation. No real instrument. And what is now in the ascendancy is the whole market ideology. And it's in this country, it's in every country, and Germany reunited will just have that much more power, and you will see that East Germany just becomes a part of that whole West German market. And the West German capital will come in and develop all of the industry and use the labor and
work on it since 1 year. It's
inevitable. That's the real issue, I think, with the whole thrust. And so I think it's a very ambiguous thing. You see the reunification, you see the change in the political structure of the Eastern European countries and in USSR, and it's a good, but on the other hand, it's a victory for the market economy, which in my view is the root cause of the problem with the creation. So you have to keep your tongue in your cheek all the time when you say, great.
Are you suggesting that the Eastern Bloc countries have done a better job?
They have done a worse job.
Far worse.
Far worse job with the ecology. What is at stake is the ideology of a government taking responsibility. They had the institutions to take responsibility for the future, because people's initiative was not the determining factor, not as important as it is in this country. They had the institutions, but they didn't use them. In other words, they were just as growth-oriented as the capitalist countries.
I don't think they had the economic infrastructure to put the resources to solve that problem. And as far as the consciousness raising, watching television in Europe this summer, the number of concerned documentaries on the ecology of all of Eastern Europe certainly was raising an awful lot of questions about how the combination of Germany begins to build an economic base to attack those problems where there is absolutely no solution in sight unless you start down this road. So I think this is the only way you can solve the
well,
the
that's one thesis, that we will have technological breakthroughs which will solve the problems of the environment. I don't happen to buy into that, even though I think we ought to move. I mean, I think we ought to be using hydrogen for fuel in our cars, and the French have already moved toward a big research project to do that. I think all those things ought to happen, but that won't do it for us. That'll move in the direction, but it'll cover over the real issues. What are you going to do let's see, by 2025 we'll have 8 billion people in the world, and by 2040 we'll have 10 billion people in the world. And what are you going to do with the economic development of the 8 billion people who are in third world countries by virtue of an economic development in Germany. It could go that way, but it's unlikely to go that way.
Well, if you start with the ecology issue in Eastern Europe and start putting the same kind of resources, I think, that we've done in this country to the plants that are spewing chemicals, raw chemicals, and just killing rivers. You can look at a lot of American rivers that are being reclaimed.
Some.
You could, if you begin to use that same technology, which is present today, I think you start in the direction to getting that problem solved. I don't think there's any perfect answer, but certainly their history to date would suggest that that they haven't done a good job with whatever system that they've had.
I mean, it's awful. I mean,
are you trying to say, Al, that because the sort of the capitalist system has sort of won out in Eastern Europe, that it's going to give more impetus to third world countries as far as following that example, and that's what you're worried about?
Well, it's going to give impetus everywhere to let the market solve the problems, which I don't think the market will solve, as over against centralized authority taking the lead in solving the problems of the ecosphere.
I'd like to follow that question, Al, and ask if I interpreted what you were saying.
We can't hear.
You're saying that the mechanism that West Germany will use to bring East Germany, to integrate East Germany and bring it up to speed, as it were, will be the market system. So that your concern is by doubling or tripling that amount of productivity and growth for the sake of growth, that it will just exacerbate.
It will exacerbate. There'll be more carbon spewed out into the atmosphere, creating global warming, because West Germany will now take over the economy of East Germany. It'll be much more effective. Although the USSR certainly has spewed a lot of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. Wherever you get an industrial development, you will get it. But the more you get, unless there's some radical change in our technology, the worse the global warming will be.
That's built
a position, at least.
Yeah, the position you're taking is that the more that is produced and the more is consumed, the more pollution there is. That those things logically follow one another. But in East Germany right now, where they manufacture virtually nothing that anybody wants to consume, is one of the worst polluters in the world. I mean, you drive around Leipzig, it's worse than, you know, Los Angeles. The Danube is dead.
And well, I think East Germany will be, the ecological condition in East Germany will be improved by the West Germans. I mean, I'm sure that there'll be much more responsibility for them.
But will that be a positive effect?
That's positive. That's why I say it's very ambiguous. But the net effect in the world is going to be to support the market as a mechanism for solving the problems, I think.
Actually, in terms of what's going to be required is, I mean, who's going to invest this money now? A lot of it's going to come out of the taxpayer of West German people, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that where a lot of the money is going to come from? Certainly a lot of it's going to come from capital. That industry is going to.
Well, if it looks prosperous, the Japanese will put money in there.
They're already there.
Right. They're going to put money wherever. There's development, it looks like that's a real spot for development. It's so underdeveloped.
What you were hoping for, of course, or what many of us were hoping for, is that some of the best of the social experiment could have somehow been maintained in a unification process, right?
Well, I don't know what the best of the experiment was, because I don't know what the heart of the church movement in East Germany was and what their fundamental understandings of where East Germany should go were. I feel that whatever creativity they have, it's kind of been overwhelmed by this act. and not allowed to develop. There must have been all kinds of people within the churches who didn't see the multiplication of goods and the increase in consumer goods as kind of the be-all and end-all of existence. There must have been people whose faith was so deep and ran so deep that there were all kinds of other motivations and all kinds of other visions of the human enterprise. At least that's my interpretation, but I don't know the fact. I just assume it was there. I haven't been in East Germany since 63. I don't know what's going on.
One of the interesting things that's happened is that there's a flood of Jewish people that wish to immigrate back to Germany. They're supposedly in Kiev alone, there are 10,000 applicants, Jewish applicants, who want to move to Germany.
To West Germany?
Yeah. A united Germany. Which means that if that trend were to continue, that within a few years there would once again be a rather substantial Jewish community rebuilt in West and East Germany. Given the people that you know and have grown up with and so forth, how do you think those people will be received into a united Germany? I mean, I know we have the, isolated incidences of anti-Semitism all over Europe, France and Germany. When we were in East Germany, we went to visit Bertolt Brecht's grave that's been desecrated by anti-Semitic slogans and so forth. Do you feel that these people will be well received by most in Germany, and that's just kind of an isolated those are isolated incidences? Or is it hard to say?
I really don't know.
I'd like to ask a little bit about how other ways that this unification could have taken place. People have alluded that it's happened too fast, but what if, and I haven't been reading it, so I'm not really aware, but what are some of the things that might have been done or done differently that would have made people feel more comfortable about the unification or feel that they had a better chance of success or whatever?
Anybody.
I think that there's a master scheme. If you think about what's happened in the USSR, and that is with the countries that were essentially sprung free, East Germany, Poland, Hungary, the economy of the USSR, of course, is in a shambles. I mean, the currencies of any of those countries were virtually worthless. And so if you sat back and said, what is the scheme that makes sense? The only scheme that seemed to make sense as rapidly as you can is to merge the two Germanies, where you've got the strongest economic base that can bring in East Germany with West Germany, and that then can be the focal point for branching out into Hungary and Poland, and at the same time be an entree for the Russians through East Germany to the West to begin to build their currencies. I think the world has to be in greater alarm that this doesn't work, because then I think if this does not work with those countries, then I think you create the same kind of situation that you had when Hitler arose and when you had the Euro thing, where you have economic chaos and people are just, they're destitute, they're hungry, they'll listen to anybody who will get them out of their straits. So I think the strategy is right. And I think the point that you made about centralized government playing the right role and coming along to support the system, the free market system, but imposing the right controls. Centralized planning and government has never worked anywhere. Big bureaucratic institutions, whether they're governments or corporations or churches or anything else, typically don't work very well. They work very slowly and it's very political. I think this has got to work almost to save the world from reverting to some of those earlier situations that resulted in utter despair for the populations, saying that there's only one way up. So I think this has got to work, and we all got to pray that it works. We all got to pray that there are enough church people and enough bureaucrats who are willing to look and impose the restrictions on the growth and development and on the ecology, that it will work properly. And I think that's where it can fall down.
Well, a lot of the speed, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's been my impression that a lot of the push for reunification is kind of based on the fact that the chance that Cole's popularity tends to go up as reunification appears on the horizon. So it's probably not doing him a whole lot of harm to have the reunification take place while he's still in office right before the elections happen.
He was campaigning before they decided to merge.
Well, of course, but not going to hurt him at all.
Yeah. Well, there's been a strong movement in Germany for this. When I was there in the 60s, I was there for 15 months. It was just all over. Your reunification was a very strong, in West Germany. It wasn't much in East Germany. But I think one of the issues is the same issue we have with third world countries, is the extent to which the development will involve the people of the countries in the determination of what's going on, and not simply be capital from the outside coming in. And in this case, it might even be more determinative than it is in some of the third world countries. Third world countries, you have some elites in the countries that are there with money and so forth. I don't know whether you have anything in these countries that will provide for a focus from within the country, so that the people are participating in it. It isn't capital coming in and establish industry on a kind of multinational or transnational basis without any responsibility to anybody. How is there going to be political responsibility in these countries? How can you meet the demands of the transnationals and unnational corporations that have all these resources? And that's, I think, we, so far as I can see, that's a primary problem in the third world, is that we're going into those countries and creating products for a third world market and not taking into account the needs, economic needs of the people who are there. This is a very tricky business in these countries now, because we've seen it fail in most third world countries. We've seen the market system fail to provide the kind of resources. It's united with the elites to provide export crops and not crops that sustain the majority of the population. Now, if that happens here, you'll have just further development of third world country kind of reality, I think.
Does anyone know, is Germany up for sale? I mean, I don't know if they have laws and regulations about foreign ownership, foreign capital, and foreign participation. I mean, I know they're certainly there. The Kuwaitis, for example, own a big chunk of Mercedes and so forth. But I don't know if, do you know, does anyone know what, I mean, do we know that the Japanese will...
Well, American capital will go there too, if you can get fairly cheap labor. And I don't know to what extent they've got technically trained labor. You would expect them to be more technically trained than some third world countries. Get labor that you want and produce the products And if there are no unions, there's no social structure to prevent the exploitation of labor, you would expect capital from all over the world to flow into these countries.
Except you do have a bit of a difference, so you can't compare it necessarily to a two-thirds world country like Namibia, where you don't have that level of relationship. When you're talking about unification of two Germanies, certainly West Germany
has. I'm not talking about West Germany, I'm talking about the other countries. Other countries. But East Germany could be the same sort of thing.
Well, I'm talking about the fact that West Germany is obviously going to have a tremendous amount of relationship with what's going on in East Germany.
There's more community.
There's a certain level of...
Right. There's more community between East and West Germany than there would be probably between the Japanese and the East Germans, or the Japanese and the Hungarians, or the Japanese and the Polish. That's right. There are more communal relationships, which create some restraint. What I'm concerned about are the kind of restraints on capital that take labor and the whole ecological situation into account. And in third world countries, because of the pressure on them, I'm trying to make an analogy with them, the elites in the third world country will sell out for the sake of the capital and the development. They'll sell out the ecological conditions. And you all know the ecological requirements in most third world countries are very low. I don't know whether the requirements in East Germany will go up, or in the other East German countries, because I don't know what the forces will be. I don't think industry in and of itself will provide those restraints. Do you?
No. I think it's got to be the population and the government reacting, and the comment about communications and the series of television documentaries on just what the situation is. But it is so bad in those countries that it's got to move away, because it can't get much worse. Hmm. I think there's an issue with the East German people that just because it's two Germanys and they carry essentially the same name, I think the price that the people in East Germany are going to pay to move from a socialistic system where they had certain guarantees were inefficient. And now they individually have to enter a market system where if they are not skilled, they don't have a job. And I think the unemployment rate in East Germany is pushing towards the 20%+ range as they recycle, as they've got to recycle. Their plants are outmoded, so they've got to have new plants, and investments got to be made. And hopefully when they build those plants, they'll build them more ecologically efficient. But the people have got to be going through such turmoil that I don't know how you solve that problem. If it takes a generation to solve it, how can you say wait? You know, how can that to me has got to be one of the most difficult parts of this exercise, of the people that were working in one system and now got to go to another system, regardless of where the capital comes from. They're unemployed. And what kind of that to me is the key and the heart of this whole matter. And I don't know where the church is or where the governments are struggling with it. People are definitely struggling with it. It's a very difficult issue. There are some things there are a number of what have been dubbed country funds that have been attracting capital in this country and in Europe and in the Far East. And the governments of some of the European countries have been promoting sort of a guarantee. We don't have capital ourselves. Would you bring your capital to our country to help us rebuild and do the things that need to be done? In a number of countries, as the governments, where they have something to attract capital in the first place, whether it's labor or something else, they have put restrictions on the exit of that capital. So that capital just can't come in, turn a quick profit and leave. It may be a time restriction, it may be in certain limitations I don't think ecology is built into that, but at least the governments in some of these countries have enough foresight to begin to think about controlling the capital that's wandering in. Now there is the other side, the vice chairman of AT&T said that they felt that there were some opportunities in a Middle Eastern country a number of years ago when they built a telephone system, only to find the shard thrown out and their system left there and a substantial loss to we, the American consumer. So there's some very difficult issues with this idea of bringing capital into underdeveloped and third world countries as to how to run that balance.
One of the countries that's a good example of that is Norway, where they have sought capital from multinationals and foreign investments and so forth, and make it possible for those groups to make a profit, but just barely. And now one of the big things that Norway exports is their expertise on how to get the most out of multinational corporations and foreign investments.
Nor she at sea oil didn't hurt Norway one little.
Well, that was of course the product, but they tax these companies at 85% and do all kinds of things. They also make them impound huge sums of money so that when they leave their, like when any one of those oil companies leaves a North Sea installation, there's been money already deposited in Norwegian banks to clean up and remove the structures and so forth. And that's the way one country has dealt with that issue, and I can't imagine that the Germans community wouldn't, probably do. I've read estimates that say that in the next 5 years it's going to cost $700+ billion. I mean, I can't even imagine that.
To refurbish East Germany.
And $700 billion. And so, yeah. Well, how about some of the rest of you here now that haven't had a chance to get a... These conversations at Holden in the evenings are intended to be free-flowing and free-for-all. So, any other comments or questions? It's fascinating. We've been to Eastern Germany a couple of times. I brought this to show tonight. Peter and Kirsten had not seen this, but the PR effort in Eastern Germany, right up until the collapse, was really incredible. And if you went there as a tourist, and got the pitch, it really was interesting. It was interesting to go back now this May also as a tourist again, and now to hear the stories of the guys, which were quite different than they were 2 or 3 years ago. And they would talk about what they saw as some of the strengths of East Germany, as they were sorry to see go, and some of their fears about being eaten up, as one guide put it, by West Germany. On the other hand, the younger people were very optimistic and excited. I think the older folks were, in many cases, very fearful of what could happen to their own security and the like. We were talking earlier this week. Here's a map of Germany some of you may want to look at. And they've returned. I couldn't remember the names of the states, but I gather it's going to be Saxony, Brandenburg, and Lower... Pomerania, is that it? They're going to go back to the historic states in Eastern Germany. So how many states are there in Western Germany?
Ten.
Ten, so will there be 13 now? Mm-hmm. Or have I, it's either two or three new states that are included Now that means that the people from Eastern Germany will be rather severely outvoted in the new parliament, I guess, because they'll have only two states versus two or three versus 10. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of struggles, I guess, emerge, right, in terms of political issues and questions and so forth.
How does the territory and the population in East Germany compare with West Germany?
Oh, Eastern Germany is much smaller, but I don't know. What would you say? A third, a fourth, a fifth?
I would say two thirds. No, maybe they have.
Yeah, that's right. Here it is. Eastern Germany will comprise 30.3% of the land, and Western Germany 69.7%.
What's the population?
Population will be about 80 million.
My sense is that West Germany was about 60 million.
Yeah. A little bit more.
Eastern Germany is about 16 million. Do you think it's more than 80 million?
No, it's 62 million or 63 now.
And then 17.
16 or 17 million.
Yeah, 63 and 17. 21% currently live in East Germany, 78% in West Germany. And the combined gross national product in 1989, if you took the two nations together, East Germany would have produced 12% and West Germany 88%. And
that's fairly comparable to the population. That's interesting.
Exports, West Germany would have exported 92% of it, or 96%, and East Germany 3.8%. So.
It's hard to know what those figures
yeah,
mean
it's hard to
in
know
a country where so many social mean. Services are provided. I don't know what they mean by income or GNP, they measure.
It'll be made up of 13 states and 3 independent cities. That's interesting. Berlin, Bremen, and Hamburg. So, in other words, they're not... is that like Washington D.C. or something?
Yeah.
Bremen and Hamburg are also states, but they are city states. It's the same like Lower Saxony or Bavaria, but they are smaller and city states.
Oh, really? So there's like 16 political units then? 13
no,
states and 3?
No, they're included in the 10 in West Germany already. The two city states, Hamburg and Bremen.
But they have equal political power to a state?
Yeah.
The city-state then? Well, that's interesting. So, anyway.
I'd like to ask Kirsten and Peter if they have any relatives in East Germany, and if they do, what have they heard from those relatives in terms of the unification?
Do you
know Nobody. I'm one of the very few persons who have no relatives in East Germany.
I have some relatives. They live near Berlin and East Berlin, and so I have been there. And but this, I think it's not the real East Germany, or it was not the real East Germany there, because they are pretty good. They got more things they needed because they live next to Berlin, and if you live far away or in a village or so, it's not so good provided. But they have been very happy, and they are still very happy, and they couldn't believe it either. And the first thing they did was to go to West Berlin and buy some things, fruits and stuff. And now, a few weeks ago, I got a letter from a girl in my age, and she wrote that she was in the Netherlands for holidays, and she really enjoyed to go west and not only east or southeast. And yeah, I think they are really happy about this.
Well, our time is almost up here. Is there anyone else that would like to share a word? If you haven't been to Germany, I hope you'll all put that on your itinerary sometime. My mother had some German blood in her, but I think parts of Germany are some of the most beautiful places in the world. The French say they're the romantics in the world, but I think the Germans are equally as romantic. And you travel down the Rhine or in southern Germany and Bavaria and the villages and up in the Bavarian Alps. And
we haven't discussed at all the meaning of this for NATO, for the defense arrangements, for what the future of Germany is, whether Germany will rearm eventually and press for that. I mean, all those things are certainly part of the future, that whether we'll keep as many soldiers over there, or whether we feel we have to keep more, should have more, should have less.
Can't afford it.
Yeah, it's
nobody forces us, right?
Just taking our troops out is going to save us.
Beg your pardon?
They've taken 40,000.
Withdrawing our troops is going to save us a real bundle.
The meeting for America in a lot of these moves could take us from Southeast Asia. It has a tremendous impact on our system, even though we don't realize it. When you talk about it, when you look at the demise of the labor unions in this country, collective bargaining, and the plight of retraining American workers, I think there's a lot in store for America. Not that it will decline, but necessarily, maybe relatively, but that we have to be prepared for a different role in the coming world. Is no longer what the Americans want, they get. So there's going to be a tremendous impact on our children and their children, on what kind of a world their America.
Well, any parting shots or thoughts?
I couldn't agree more. I think our labor will get less and less in competition with the world markets, and the unions will get weaker and weaker. And our children will find their jobs not just around the country, but around the world. The technically trained people will be in demand. And if we continue to move into a global market, which I'm against personally, but I think I'm fighting the trends that are almost inevitable, that we ought to be relatively self-sufficient, and third world countries ought to try to be relatively self-sufficient before they try to participate in a global market, which will cause capital to go where there's the marginal cost is the lowest. Wherever it's the lowest, the capital will go and the production will take place and the people will be hired. And we'll have to compete in this country unless we put up strong tariff barriers, which is probably, from my point of view, desirable. I mean, the whole direction of the global market, to my mind, is a disaster, but everybody sees it as a great, great possibility. And I think if you're highly technically trained and a very efficient, technician, you see this as an opportunity to use your skill all over the world and have all those experiences. And it has a certain glamour to it, I think. So it's a certain value. I mean, I'm not saying it's all negative, but I think it's very ambiguous.
Although some of the folks that and follow that path that are now in Kuwait will probably re-examine that, that romance right after.